You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Right now, Thor is not the best with me leaving places. So, like, if I left my dressing room and Thor was in my dressing room, he would howl incredibly, like, very loud. He'd be like, "Ow!"
Hey, what's going on? It's me, Roscoe, founder and host of Built for the Stage, an online training program that helps actors to train like athletes. If you want to try a free trial, go to the website builtforthestage.com and we'll get you on our way with a 7-day free trial, no catch, no gimmicks, or you can click the link in the description of this episode. Please, if you like the podcast, rate, subscribe, leave us a comment, follow us on the gram at Built for the Stage or on TikTok at Built for the Stage, or on Facebook at Built for the Stage. All right, we have a special guest for you. This is an excerpt from Motivation Monday on Playbill. We have none other than Shireen Pimentel, who plays Maria in West Side Story. We chat a bit about Broadway. We chat a bit about her new dog. We chat a bit about her new school endeavor. This one's an interesting one, not just all about the stage, in this episode with Shireen. So I hope you enjoy this episode with Shireen Pimentel. Shireen Pimentel. Hey, Shireen.
Hello.
Oh my goodness. Look at that little, oh yeah, kisses. Everyone watching, Shireen is she plays Maria in West Side Story on Broadway.
Yeah,
we can't wait to have her back up there doing her thing. But until then, she'll be here chatting with us on Motivation Monday. How are you, Shireen? Thanks for joining us.
I'm good. Thanks for having me. You know, it's Monday, but I'm feeling good. Things are doing good, actually. Yeah.
Well, tell us about little Thor. How did he come into your life?
Well, quarantine, you know. I definitely wanted to get a pup, and then I just didn't. I was always working and I didn't know if I'd have enough time. And I think like a month or two in, I was like, I'm getting a dog. My mom was like, no. And then I got the dog a few months later. Because we have a family dog. So there are two dogs now, which we never thought we would like have two dogs in the same house. But we do. And he's about 7 months old. He's still a little baby. And I'm definitely like a tiger mom. So that's been fun. He's my child. He's my baby.
Do you have a dog stroller for him?
I don't. Not yet. He loves to run, so he wants his feet on the ground.
How do you feel about dog strollers? Like when you see someone pushing a dog around in a stroller, how do you feel about it?
I don't know. I get when you have them for like going to the airport and things like that. Like, but just going to the park, your dog wants to walk around. Your dog wants to, I don't know, run, meet other dogs. So, yeah, I'm not the hugest fan for those types of times.
I hear you. Yeah. When you get back to the show, is Thor going to come with you? Will he have his own dressing station? Like, how's that going to work?
We're going to work it out. Right now, Thor is not the best with me leaving places. So, like, if I left my dressing room and Thor was in my dressing room, he would howl incredibly, like, very loud. He'd be like, "Oh!" And he does it in our house now as well. So that wouldn't work. So we're working on different things. We'll see what we can do. Or maybe Thor's going to have a buddy and a friend to hang out with while I'm at the theater. Oh, hi.
Oh. Yeah, it might not go off well when Tony's lying on the ground at the end of the show and Thor all of a sudden's howling from off stage.
Exactly. That's what we're thinking. It really wouldn't work very well. But he really does like people. So he does get a little scared. He is a scaredy cat, but once he gets to know people, he really does enjoy that. So I'm hoping that he can at least come visit everyone.
Yeah. What have you been doing to keep busy during the pandemic? I've gotten to see you perform, which has been nice, virtually. How's that been for you? Just kind of like, oh, I guess everything's going to be filmed now, and a lot of it might be in my apartment. You know, how have those experiences been?
Interesting. I think I've gotten better over time because I've gotten like a whole setup, and we've definitely gotten faster in putting together all the things. I am pretty grateful that my parents live pretty close to the city. So I left my apartment in the summer and I moved back to Jersey. So I do have someone, like, have help at least to like put all the things together and record all the things and look at them and give some feedback and opinions. And we can do that all in the comfort of our own home. So that's really nice. But it's interesting. And then it's interesting to see like the final product of what you get when you get a virtual performance. I think I've been doing a lot of that kind of stuff, virtual performing, putting together my own song, my own music, but then also figuring out some other avenues and some other things that I'm interested in, because I think that what quarantine did at the beginning was make it so we had to figure out what life would be like not being a performer. It's really easy. It's not a bad thing. It's just a really easy thing to be able to define yourself from what you do, from being a performer, a singer, a dancer. And now we couldn't do that in the scale in which we were doing it. Now we were doing it in our own homes, and we were doing it again sometimes as a hobby, but not as a job. And once that happened, you had to figure out how do you actually define yourself as a person. So yeah, I've been finding other interests and finding other things that I want to pursue as well.
Mm-hmm. You're okay. So you were fresh out of school or in the midst of school when going into the role. Are you still doing classes now, or what's your school status? What's that all about?
So I graduated in May.
Oh, congratulations. Sorry.
Thank you. No, it's okay. And I was like, I am not going back to school. No. So now I'm pursuing my MBA starting in January.
Amazing.
I'm finishing up some modules because I went to conservatory. So they're like, you didn't take math for 4 years. And I'm like, no. So math? I have to take math. Yeah. What? Just like basic math. And
what
then also
math?
Accounting. Yeah. Exactly. What's math? I'm like, what? They're like, basic algebra. I'm like, huh? And then I have to take accounting and then finance. So it's been a time these past few months trying to figure all that kind of stuff out. But that's my current school status. I'm still a student. I'm just not doing the arts at school. I'm doing business now.
Very cool. Any specific field of business that you have your eyes set on, or you're going to kind of just pick that as you get into your studies?
I think that my biggest thing is finance. Especially in the past few days, I've been doing a lot of research when it comes to that, and learning how we can stop. It's very interesting. I fall down these like YouTube holes for like 3 to 4 days and try to learn as much as I possibly can, and then go like read some books. But YouTube is like, you know, the most accessible thing that we have. And I was listening to this guy named Tony Robbins, and he was talking about how we all trade. We are all financial traders. We trade our time for money. And that's like the worst trade that you can do, because there are only so many hours in the day. So then there's only so much money you actually could make. And he started talking about how you can make your money work for you, make your money make more money, which ends up compound interest and all that kind of stuff. So that's kind of my main focus: investing, working with money. And then after I do that, see, I don't know what business ventures I want to take on. If I just want to continue investing in projects that I believe in, or I don't know if I want to start my own business at some point. I'll kind of see where that takes me. I think really pursuing the MBA is having the people. That's the whole reason why I got my arts degree in the first place as well, was I wanted to be in the environment and see how that shaped me as a person. So now I'm kind of doing the same thing, even though it's online and it's not in person, trying to see how it will influence me. I don't think like going to school can like answer all the questions that people have, but there's something about the people that are there. There's something about the instructors you have or something that you hear about. It can help spark like a it can be the catalyst to something that ends up being really exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at suffsmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on Essie Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
As you're pursuing this MBA or even back in your time in school for the arts, you brought up Tony Robbins. Who else has been influential in your current pursuits, whether that's, you know, a big name that you might not know personally or someone personally?
Yeah. Wow. It's interesting.
Who have you been YouTubing? You said you've been YouTubing for hours.
Like, well, any, yes, I know.
Any big YouTube names that you would recommend for us to check it out, even if it's about finances or things like that? Yeah. I know that that's important for a lot of us right now in 2020 is, you know, getting that under control.
Yes. So Tony Robbins was the first person. Basically what happened to me was obviously the pandemic hit. And then I was doing arts as fun and hobbies and, you know, also doing virtual performances. I'm a performer. I can forever do that. And then I saw a friend, Michelle Mercedes, you know, her in West Side. And she was pursuing her MBA. And I was like, this is the sign, because for months I kept talking about, I want to focus on business and finance, because if something like this ever happened, not just a pandemic, but you know, I don't have a job or something, I don't want to be in this kind of position where like I'm floundering and I don't know what to do because I have no financial literacy. Like I don't get it. So I even messaged her that day and I was like, this is telling me that I need to finally just do it. Like finally just apply and go for it. So I did that, got into the MBA program. I was complacent. I was like, beautiful. I love this. Now I can just go to school and I'll learn it there. And then I know a few different people who have started businesses and one guy named Ben, had recommended Tony. And I was like, his books. I was like, okay, cool. I'll read those soon. And yesterday, oh, mind you, 2 weeks ago, I was like, I'm going to start investing $100 into the stock market, because I was watching this video that was like, if you aren't willing to invest $100 into the stock market, how do you believe that you could make $1 million? Right? If you're not willing to just do something, even a small thing, like how do you believe that you could work on like this humongous scale? And I thought to myself,
are you using the Robinhood app? Sorry to interrupt.
I am a Robinhood person. It's quite simple. I like it. I'm like making money right now. I love it.
We got to talk more about Robinhood after this for sure.
Yes.
Sorry to interrupt.
No, it's okay. It's perfect. So, but I did believe that. I was like, we all look at the stock market as like, oh no, it's down, I can't invest. And then when it's up, we're like, oh no, it's too expensive, I can't invest. So never will we believe that we can invest our money into it, right? Yeah. So I was like, I'm just going to invest. If I lose a little bit of money, it's $100 a week. I'll be okay. Like, yeah. it's I'll try.
People are throwing that away, you know, eating out or doing whatever. So you might as well do it in a more productive fashion.
Exactly. And maybe the $100 could make $3. Maybe it can. And that's $3 that I didn't have before.
I think now is a great time to invest. This is when we would like put in the little cursor at the bottom saying like, I'm not a professional, don't listen.
Not at all.
But anyways, when it's down in these circumstances, it's down in an unusual time in our society. And those businesses that are down that used to be up, they're not down because of any fault of their own. So now's the time to take advantage of that low price point so that when things do get normalized in whatever way that's going to mean, and their stock goes back up, you had already capitalized during this time.
Exactly. So that's when I started just investing in, but I wasn't doing any research. I was just kind of like, they say, invest in what you know. So I tried to do that. Some time passed. I was like, okay, I'm finally going to do the research. I'm going to like sit down and try to look up what people do. And I found Tony, and then I found Ray Dalio, and really just kind of sat and just watched a whole bunch of their videos, just different videos, different tips that they've got, a whole bunch of different stuff. All night yesterday, honestly, till about 1 o'clock in the morning. And there was so much that they talk about that has to do with finance. That's amazing. But also just a lot of it has to do with life and how to live your life to be able to do any field that you want to. And so you realize that the way that they go at the stock market is by studying psychology and making sure that mentally they are ready to be in the stock market, because a lot of stocks just have to do with emotion. So I just found that incredibly fascinating last night. And now I'm like, diving deep into his book Unshakable now. I like went to Barnes and Noble's at 9:30 this morning to pick it up. Because I just think that it's something that we all should know as artists. He started bringing up the fact that like celebrities and athletes, so many of them go bankrupt because they make a lot of money and then no one really tells them what to do with the money. And so they become consumers, which is amazing, right? We all consume things. Like I own Apple products, right? But I don't own Apple because I don't invest in Apple. I have no stake, no share, nothing in the game, right? So they've made money off of me buying, consuming their product, but I've made nothing. I've just lost money.
Yeah.
That's it. And soon the value of the product I have will depreciate and I will sell it for less than I bought it for. And that's how we just live life, which is fine. But the way to be able to, from what I've been researching and reading and listening to so far, is being able to consume and then own.
Yeah.
As well. And I think that with the current climate of the world and everything, so many people have talked about owning and legacy and generational wealth. And those are things that I'm like, I don't have those things. Mm-hmm. But how does one get them, right? And we think that self-made billionaires and millionaires came out and just were and just had that money. And then you listen to these people's stories, Tony's story, Ray Dalio's story. They did not start with millions and billions of dollars.
No.
Right? They took the chance and they tried. And then they failed and they figured out. They solved, as Ray Dalio likes to say, his problems, he looks at it as a puzzle. And you figure out the puzzle and you get to the root of the problem. Then you overcome it and you keep moving. He has this like whole five cycle, beautiful. I'm like, wow, something we never talk about. Because we all say like, there's never a failure. It's always just a lesson, right? But if we don't see the first step, be realistic. It was a misstep. You failed. You tripped on the rock. The thing happened. Now you can get to the root of the problem. If you just go to like, it was a lesson, but you don't know what the lesson was, you can't move forward.
Right. Yeah. Take some time to study that lesson and really dissect it for sure. Let's go back to you making that decision to apply and go get your MBA. Yeah. A lot of people are thinking of doing a lot of things right now, you know, with all the time on their hands. Is it just something natural for you to have that, I guess, courage or just go-getter attitude to just go for it? Or what was that process like for you to actually pull the trigger and put yourself out there, you know?
Yeah. I think we all innately have it, but we have to like exercise that muscle. We have to exercise that determination that we have within ourselves, or else it just goes dormant. So it wasn't natural. I had been looking at applications over and over again. And as I said before, Michelle had like applied, said she was doing an MBA. And I like, she put a post on Instagram and I was like, this is what I need to do. Like, I've been thinking about it this whole time and I haven't done it. And sorry, Thor wanted to, he was like, I want off your lap right now. But I needed to make that leap. So I do say like, it's not overnight. I'm not just like, yes, I need to do this right now. I think about it. And sometimes I do make a few mistakes. And then I think to myself, why not? Like, what am I losing? And I think the pandemic has really taught me that. Like, what am I really losing by trying?
Yeah. Yeah. We have one of our Built for the Stage t-shirts is a why not t-shirt from Giuseppe Basilio from Hamilton. And that was his big mantra of like, just put yourself out there. And the, like you just said about the failures, if you fail, it's a lesson to learn from and you move on. And I guess that would be the motivating message from our episode with you today, Shireen, is anyone watching for Motivation Monday is just, why not? You know, now's the time to do it. Now's the time.
That's what I'm saying, right? Like, there's a pandemic. There's like lots of things are happening right now. Why not? Like, for the most part, only have things to gain. And the things you're losing really are not, they're not life and, well, coronavirus is, so not in that respect, but aside from that, right, they're not life and death. Like investing in the stock market for me for $100, not life and death. Applying for my MBA, not life or death, right? If I didn't get in, I didn't get in, but I tried.
All right, and that'll do it. Once again, thanks to Shireen for being on the podcast with us at Built for the Stage. If you want to try a free trial, click that link below or go to the website, builtforthestage.com. Until next time, it's me, Roscoe, signing off.
The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com and, of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.